pastor's children. We thank God for them. Pastor Carter is a senior here at Northwest, majoring in psychology. He's going to come at this time. Say amen for Pastor Carter. Amen.
Thank you for being seated. It's good to be here. Perhaps not necessarily right here, but it's good to be here. I call your attention to the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 28th verse. Very familiar passage of scripture. My presentation will be brief, but prayerfully it will be encouraging. It says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And just for a moment, I want to talk to you about learn how to run home. I remember a story about a little boy named Bobby. Bobby was a T-ball player. And this was his first year playing T-ball. How many of you ever played T-ball? I mean, I know, you don't have to reach too far back. And Bobby, in his first game, he walked up to the ball, and he had one of those King Griffey swings on him, you know, and he knew everything there was to know about T-ball because his daddy had told him everything there was to know. Well, almost everything. And Bobby hit that ball, and it went out into the outfield, and the opposing team was scurrying for the ball, and being Bobby's first time at bat, you know, Bobby was just elated, and he just stood there, and, you know, Bobby, the coach said, "Bobby, run!" Bobby took off running, got around first base, and the coach looked, and he said, "This is going to be an infield home run." And as Bobby was nearing the second base, coach cupped his mouth over his hands, he said, "Bobby, run home." Bobby said, "Wait a minute. I know I'm supposed to go to third base, but coach said, run home." So Bobby touched second base, made a quick left, ran in field, jumped over the pitcher's mound, ran home and slid in. And all of his teammates were there moaning. And the coach was groaning. And all the opposing team was elated because Bobby was out. But Bobby was obedient because he did what his coach told him to do. Run home. You know what? I learned that that's a good principle for life. When things get hard and things get difficult, and when things are overwhelming you, that you just learn how to run home to God. You know, because we're not exempt from problems. We're not exempt from anxieties. We're not exempt from everyday just perplexities. But if we just learn how to run home. And the thing is, God says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What a promise. But know who you're running home to. God said, "Listen, I will be your help, your very present help in a time of trouble." Now, sometimes things are going to get so bad that you won't be able to wait for Monday to come here. You won't be able to wait till Wednesday to get here. You can't wait till Friday to come to chapel. But right in your dorm rooms, you're going to have to learn how to get on your knees, go before God, and say, God, I need your help right now. I'm running home to you, God. God, my world is closing in on me, Lord. You ever been there? I mean, you've had a good week at school, and you go home and you find out that your parents is now talking about getting a divorce. You go home and you find out that your brother and your sister, and you know that the doctors have diagnosed them with a sickness that they can't help them. Well, let me tell you, you need to learn how to get a prayer and a praise and a song going for yourself. You know what? They might think you're crazy in your dorm room, but you know what you're doing? I'm running home. You don't have to join in with me, but I'm running home. God, I thank you. So if you don't remember any, you may not remember the story about Bobby. But remember, when things get rough and the going get tough, run home.
I do greet you this day in the name of our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. And we just learn how to be obedient to God. And we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, in my going out. And yes, Lord, in my coming in. Yes, Lord, in all of my daily, weekly, monthly, yearly activities, I give them into your hands. And we say, yes, Lord. So would you stand with me and with an expression of obedience to God, uplifted hands, let's just tell him, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, tell him yes for that problem that you're facing right now. Unanswered prayers, but tell him yes.
Yes, Lord.
A new commitment, tell him yes. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In every aspect of my life, God, I commit my life unto you.
Yes, Lord.
And I say yes. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes to your desires for my life. Because I know you have a wonderful plan for me and for my life. So I say yes.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, yes. Tell him yes from the very depths of your heart.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
God, I say yes.
Yes.
I commit my way into your hand. I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have deposited with him against that day. So, God, I say yes. I say yes. And I say, have your way in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, righteous Father, take what has been done and what shall be done. Let it be to your glory and your honor. God, let no flesh glory in your sight. But indeed, it is our prayer that the sinners would be saved, that, oh God, the backsliders would be reclaimed, that the believers would be edified. Bless, strengthen, keep, guide, and lead by your eternal spirit. And we shall be so careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we just say, yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. This is the word of the Lord, Revelation 2, verses 8 through 11. I do acknowledge God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and to each of you, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, to Dean of Chapel, Pastor Baker, God bless you, my colleagues in this gospel as well as educational ministry, may the Lord continue to smile upon you. I get up at 4:15 every morning. My wife hates getting up that early, but she came with me today, so thank God for my wife of 34 years. Amen. Amen. And to all of my students here, God bless you and strengthen you and keep you. And I found also, Miss Pope, that another class was listening to my message today. So my subject is the message to Smyrna. And my thesis is stated as follows. This message to Smyrna highlights the person of Jesus Christ, very God and very man, underscores the persecution of the saints, places the church within true prosperity, and illustrates the power of the Holy Spirit. Smyrna was a rebuilt, planned city that indeed had been dead and had come back to life. Smyrna was a place where Polycarp, Bishop of Smyrna, was martyred on Saturday, the 23rd of February, AD 155. Now, the proconsul gave Polycarp the choice of cursing the name of Christ and making sacrifice to Caesar or death. 86 years have I served him, said Polycarp, and he, meaning Jesus, has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? The proconsul threatened him with burning, and Polycarp replied, "You threaten me with the fire that burns for a time and is quickly quenched, for you do not know the fire that awaits the wicked and the judgment to come and everlasting punishment. Why are you waiting? Do what you will." And the Spirit said, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches." Revelation, according to Baxter, gives us seven churches with their seven letters of commendation, instruction, exhortation, and correction. And although our risen Lord now sits on the right hand of power, where he makes intercession for us, he's more active on earth than ever. He's moving around amid the lampstands. He's operating through the Christian church on this earth. And he's encouraging all Christian believers to remain attuned to what the Spirit says unto the churches. Well, first of all, the message to Smyrna highlights the person of Jesus Christ. He is eternal. I don't understand that. He always has been and always will be. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's there when John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The same was in the beginning with God. All things, not some things, but all means all, and that's all means. All things were made by him. And with not him was not anything made that was made. Our Lord is eternal. And he was dead, this passage lets us know, and it gives us in the tense that reflects duration. So in this imperfect construction, he was dead. But thank God Almighty, that next verb, he came back alive. Amen. So for a while he was there. And we say 3 days and three nights in a borrowed tomb because he would not need it any longer. But after that duration, he arose with all power in his hand. And by so doing, he triumphed over death in all of its forms. Someone once said, a close friend of mine, "The only thing that I'm going to do for death is die." Because our Lord, our risen Savior, has already paid the price. And not only did he come back alive, but thank God Almighty, he's alive forevermore. Thank God. Sometimes we sing, "Alive, alive, alive forevermore." He's enthroned at our Father's right hand. Jeremiah, again, 33 and both in 27. Jeremiah lets us know, first of all, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And again, the same prophet says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And the answer comes back resoundingly so, absolutely nothing. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. And he proved this by conquering the greatest foe of all. Death itself has no dominion over him. And because we are now in Christ Jesus, thank God Almighty, death hath no more dominion over us. So there he sits enthroned at the Father's right hand. The songwriter also says he's gone, but he's coming back again. And he's coming back at the appropriate time, and his reward is in his hand. And he'll reward us for our steadfastness and for our labors of love. Therefore, in this first point, Jesus himself is saying, I was put to death, but I'm alive again. Now, it's evident in this verse 8 that Jesus died and returned to life. Therefore, Jesus is actually telling this assembly at Smyrna and believers everywhere to fear neither sufferings nor death. And yet we have a phobia for about anything that we can name. He will assist and strengthen us in all areas of our life. And if we lose our lives for his sake, he will raise us up to everlasting life. Now, I know during this time of the year, we pull out our old Dallas Holmes albums and records and tapes. And Dallas Holmes, yeah, it goes way back. But Dallas Holmes says, I'll rise again. Say, ain't no power on earth can tie me down. I'm not concerned about death. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. And it's because, not so much as to what we have done, but what God through Jesus Christ has done for you and done for me. So don't fear death. Don't fear persecution. In fact, persecution is the act of being subject to harassing or cruel treatment because of beliefs or race or religion. Our second point states that the message to Smyrna underscores the persecution of the saints. Jesus commands the believers in Smyrna to keep the faith in the midst of persecution. You know, when things are really tough and you're really going through, we must learn how to keep the faith. I know sometimes we quote 11 and 1 of Hebrews about faith, but we need to drop down to about 11 and 6 of Hebrews. My beloved, faith is really having the right belief about God, believing that God will do what he says he will do. And that verse tells us that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So Jesus commands these believers at Smyrna to keep the faith in the midst of persecution. And by the way, everyone's not going to be delivered out of the difficulty in which he or she finds himself. Some were sown asunder. Some were hung upside down. Some were burned at the stake. Some lived in caves and went about in animal skins. But this church at Smyrna recognized that tribulation, persecution came. It came from the Jews. It came from the heathens. It came from the heretics. The believers at Smyrna suffered from persecution. They suffered from poverty, from the blasphemy of the opposition. And on my box of salt, it says, when it rains, it pours. They caught it from all sides. And some of you in this century will find yourselves in remote locations of the world. I know a brother right now in Tacoma who wants to be a missionary, and he is. But he cannot, in that particular country, be a missionary. They don't welcome us as Christians there. So he has a bookstore, and he's getting the word of God out through his bookstore. But in that particular area, people have been in prison because of their love for Jesus Christ. And some of you sitting here today may find yourselves in those same kinds of locales. If God says go there, you'll have no choice if you're going to be obedient and say yes to God. Many people will be stripped of their temporal possessions because of their commitment to the gospel. Are you sold out to the Lord? Are you really sold out? Are you saying, yes, Lord? We make up verses to that song. We say, yes, Lord. We say, have your way. We say, not my will.
We say, thy will be done. We say, come the more. But are you really sold out to the Lord? Have you committed your way unto him? And then there are people, and maybe even some right here under the sound of my voice, who will actually lose their lives for the sake of the gospel. When Polycarp was apprehended and brought before the proconsul at Smyrna, the Jews were the most furious of all in demanding his condemnation. And we look around and think we have support from this area and recognize that that's not the case. But whatever we may be going through, and we really don't have persecution in this nation. We really don't. Amen. We get our little feelings hurt, but we really don't. We don't really know what it means to be persecuted. Amen. Beat, imprisoned for our belief in the gospel. But I've come by to tell you today that there is a limit to the persecution that the body of Christ will suffer. You see, the waves on the seashore may roar and roar and roar. Now, one thing my wife will get up early for is a ride to the ocean. She doesn't count Tacoma. So I have to get outside of Tacoma. I've been driving all day, you know, up and down this highway here. She doesn't count that. And then once we're outside of the city limits of Tacoma, we'll drive over to the ocean and grab a McDonald's on the way and walk on the beaches and then head back home 4 or 5 hours just to get to the ocean. But I watch the waves. And they'll tide will go out, it'll come back in. I don't like getting wet, so I'll walk toward the water when it's going out. And as it makes its way back, I'll run back. And I play this game with the ocean time and time again. But as I look that, the seas may roar and roar and roar, but God has established a boundary. And those waves can only come to a certain point. And that's really what he's telling the church here at Smyrna. Whatever you're going through right now, and in your own lives, whatever may be transpiring right now, God has set a boundary. You shall have tribulation 10 days for a set period of time, but after that, it's over. Somebody said, weeping may endure for a night. But beloved, I got a song in my heart because joy will come in the morning. So whatever you're going through, recognize that there's a cutoff point. Sickness has to stop. Frustrations has to stop. Final exams. Hallelujah. Amen. They have to stop. Oh, yeah, there's a limit. Come on, give the Lord a hand, praise. Well, my third point declares that the message to Smyrna educates the church about true prosperity. And we have the so-called gospel of wealth, a car in every garage and a chicken in every pot. And I thank God for that. But really, Timothy lets us know through the Apostle Paul that godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, some of you didn't even say thank you for the last meal you ate down there, because I heard another comment. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, nothing wrong with money itself, but for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. This church at Smyrna was rich in good works. This assembly did not trust in uncertain riches, but they put their trust in the true and living God. We trust God as long as our credit card is okay and parents can send us a little something, but when it gets down to where there's nothing there, we must learn how to trust God. My friend told it for the truth, and he said his card was so maxed out that he stuck it in the machine, and it kept his card, and an alarm went off. Now, when we find ourselves at that point in life, we must recognize that we don't trust in material, man-made things, but we put our trust in the hope and the true and the living God. And like the apostle, we recognize that if God be for us, and I like one translation, says, since God is for us, who can be against us? This church of Smyrna was outwardly poor, but inwardly it was rich. Rich in grace, rich in faith, rich in meekness, and rich in patience. Rich in humility, even rich in courage, as we have the example of Polycarp in the very face of persecutions. Because Jesus Christ is our model. The Apostle Paul knew that, 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, and he says, follow me as I follow Christ. And another translation says, be ye imitators of me as I am of Christ. And because Jesus Christ is our model, let us model the behavior that he would desire that we model. We are rich because Jesus is our model. We can be rich in the deepest of our material poverty. We can be honorable in the greatest abasement. And we can be blessed in the heaviest of our trials. That's because we are rich in Christ Jesus. Well, as I close, and I get three closings, Timothy also says that Jesus gives us all things richly to enjoy. Spurgeon writes it like this. He says, our Lord Jesus is always giving and does not for a solitary instant withdraw his hand. As long as there is a vessel of grace not yet full to the brim, the oil shall not be stayed. Jesus is a sun that's always shining. He is manna that is always falling around the camp. He is a rock in the desert, ever sending out streams of life from his smitten side. The rain of his grace is always dropping. The river of his bounty is always flowing. And the wellspring of his love is constantly overflowing. We are rich in Christ Jesus. You may be poor in material goods, and it's tough, but you're paying less now than you'll pay a lot years down the road for your education. And I know that it's tough being poor, many material goods, but just remember that you're rich in Jesus Christ. For my final thought, the message to Smyrna illustrates the power and the movement of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah declares that it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Not with force, not with armies, but with my spirit, saith the Lord. You see, many people have ears, but they do not hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. That's because we're not attuned to the proper channel. If God is speaking on channel 7 and we turn into channel 4, we're going to miss out. That's what he's saying unto us. But if we really can begin to hear the Spirit of God, we recognize that he's telling us to become overcomers. For if we overcome, we shall not be hurt of the second death. We shall have eternal fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and as he's referred to, the eternal Holy Spirit. If we actually become holy comers, overcomers, those who do not hear the Spirit of God and the voice of God, the Word of God, will experience an eternal separation from our Heavenly Father and from the glory of his power. Years ago, I was pastoring a church in Tacoma, and my church mother and my senior deacon, I actually had the privilege of rebaptizing them. After extending the call to discipleship, they both came forward, acknowledging that they were in the church, but that the church was not in them. They were great members of that congregation, but they were not saved. And the Bible declares, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For you see, they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have gone about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And that's why we sing, "Yes, Lord." Have you actually submitted yourself unto the righteousness of God? Not a series of do's and don'ts and rules and regulations, but do you know Jesus Christ as a person? John 17:3 says, "This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And sometimes we sing, "Do you know him? I know a man from Galilee. If you're in sin, he'll set you free." But do you know him? Oh, yes. Do you have a personal relationship with our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ? Well, maybe you like I used to be years ago. My daddy was a preacher, my grandpa was a preacher, my uncle, my brothers, my cousins are preachers, and I said, one thing I'll never do is preach. Don't say what you won't do. Maybe your mom and dad are preachers and missionaries and teachers and apostles and evangelists, and yet you know in your heart, right now, sitting in the pews, that you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, I thank God for this school. I thank God for the theology. I thank God for the doctrine. I thank God for the polity of our local church. I thank God for spiritual formation. I thank God that I can walk others down the quote-unquote Roman road and present them with the plan of salvation. And yet, if I do not know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, my future is not too bright. This verse 11 states that if you have an ear to hear, you should hear. You, John Doe and Jane Doe, should hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Timeless messages for all of us. And as Pastor Carter mentioned earlier, we're invited to come. So the Spirit is saying right now, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." You might not be persecuted for your faith, but do you find yourself stumbling under the pressures of life? Well, I invite you right now. And I'm not even saying that you're like that deacon and that church mother. But if you know that your relationship with Jesus Christ, and really that's all that matters, they were more delighted to be embarrassed then than to stand before the Lord of the universe and hear him declare, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So they came and they rededicated their lives unto the Lord. And if you're here right now, we're standing. You're invited to come and to make a new commitment to the Lord. All over the building, we're standing. And I don't know you and exactly where you are with the Lord, but the song that we should sing down in Louisiana just simply said, "Let the Spirit lead you." If you feel that you need to come and rededicate your life, and maybe you've never even known Jesus personally, but you feel that you need to come, whosoever will, let him or let her come. But let the Spirit lead you. Let the Spirit lead you. Let the Spirit lead you. Let the Spirit lead. Will you come all the way? The Spirit lead you. Is there another? Will you come? Let the Spirit lead you. Let the Spirit lead you. Let the Spirit lead you. He's a mighty good leader. He's a mighty good leader. Will you come? Well, he's a mighty good leader.
the Spirit lead you. Oh, let the Spirit lead. Will you come if he's speaking to your heart? In the day that you hear my voice, said the Lord, harden not your heart. Spirit lead you. The Spirit lead you all. He led my mother. He led my mother. He led my mother all the way. All the way. The Spirit lead you all. Let the Spirit lead. This is our last verse, and we're singing it for you. Lead you. Let the Spirit lead you all the way. The Spirit lead you all the way.
Righteous Father, as we go down from this place, let the words of our mouth, the things that we would say, the meditation of our heart, the things that we would think, let them be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We pray for your healing touch, your virtue, your power to God, even right now. We pray particularly for Professor Malcolm, for his medical needs this day, and others under the sound of our voice, but another who need a touch from you. God, you bless them. Bless the doctors, the nurses, the medicine, the machinery, all of those who are ministering to your people this day in the healthcare area. Meet their needs. Now, God, bless our mind, body, spirit. And as we depart from this place, go with us. Be our rear guard. Be a shield all about us. And we'll praise you for it. Now to the great King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only wise God. To him be glory, honor, majesty, and dominion, now, henceforth, and forevermore. And all the people of God sang, Amen. God bless. Go in peace.